You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 579 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm your host, not Stephen Seagraves. Seth hosting this week. Stephen is traveling for work and taking a break, but I'm joined by Mr. Fosma Moon. Fos, how you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well also. Well, I've well. That's a very good. Let's not do that.
Spring seems to finally be here. Things were warming up.
You say that, and yet, as I was making lunch this afternoon, my wife informed me that we're supposed to see snow tomorrow, so I'm not sure I believe you.
Okay, maybe spring's just here.
Down here.
Down there.
Quarter mile north to New Hampshire yet?
It still has a little bit more, a couple more weeks.
Yeah, so we're not supposed to get much accumulation, but I was excited. We have almost all of the snowbanks have melted off of my yard, but apparently we're going to get a little more tomorrow. So almost. Anyway, you were saying?
I said soon.
Soon. There you go. Also soon, some very interesting new aircraft layouts. This week's episode will come out as usual on Thursday for our regular listeners, Patreon supporters. You're getting it on Tuesday instead of Monday. Per usual, not because we're late in recording, which is almost always why that happens, but because we have some news that's under embargo and we like to respect that sort of thing. So, but we also wanted to put it out as well timed as we can. And that news comes from United Airlines.
Lots of changes.
Lots of changes. We think you'll like them. No?
I'm on the fence on some of them.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know that Smeeset comment, well, raise your hand and recognize that you're younger than us. So anyway, there's three sort of big things going on. There's a media day happening in Los Angeles on Tuesday as well as part of this. The main issue is, or not main, the significant known bit is the 787 new configuration tour that's happening and sort of showing it off. So that's good news, I guess. Everything we expected and more. And it's happening.
It is. Do we know when the new 78s actually start flying?
So there's going to be some domestic flying for, you know, sort of surprise and delight stuff for crew familiarization. Yeah, the first official flight, I believe, is April 22nd. And it's San Francisco, Singapore. So they're going to do some domestic flights before they go straight to the international stuff. But there's that. And then, May 1st is they're adding 901, the London flight as well.
Okay.
So seats are on sale. You can see them in the map. Our good friend Jason went searching just a random booking. It was a $500 upcharge to the Polaris studio.
$499.
It's true. It was not full $500, you know, but I like to round off. So that's a lot of money for the caviar appetizer and a little extra space.
And a bigger screen.
Oh, yes. Bigger IP screen. It's, April 22nd is the first flight. It's a lot. But I don't know.
So they have two of these planes now.
Did they already get the second one?
I believe so.
Okay. And I mean, they're going to need a few of them depending. I guess with three, you can probably do the London turn plus the Singapore turn.
Yeah. 101 and 102 are in the fleet. 101 did a flight from Houston to LA a few days ago.
Okay. I'm imagining it was a ferry, not a passenger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do expect some passenger flights to happen before the 22nd. I kind of have to. But anyway, so that's the part we know. Doors will not be available to start.
Is this a certification issue?
It would seem to be. It could be one of the two things. It could be a certification issue. It could be a staffing issue also, which is a certification issue. But the way that they get staff, typically if you have doors, you need an extra crew member.
Okay.
And so if they aren't doing that, problem.
I'm sure that's a great thing to be negotiating with the union while they're working on a new contract.
Yeah, and fighting all the other challenges. I wanted to pull it up here because I wanted to make sure I got the details about the doors not being available right. Yeah, privacy doors are temporarily unavailable. It's a little asterisk at the bottom of the foot of the press release, so that's awkward. Mostly because of how much they've made, I guess, how much everybody has sort of hyped the doors and then not been able to deliver.
But I feel like everyone who's had doors has not been able to make them available when they first take flight.
I feel like initially they did, and then that started happening, and now it's, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a problem, and then I think some certification things happened, and it became a problem, and now it's remaining a problem.
Right.
But anyway.
Hey, at least the seats are certified.
There you go. Also, congratulations to Lufthansa, has 25 out of 28 certified on their 787s now.
Baby steps. Only three more to go.
It seems like the bulk of them was related to how they're attached to the floor. And then these three are related to head impact issues. John Walton has an excellent write-up about it on his site, the Upfront Media. I'll put a link to that in the notes. And I'm putting a note in the notes now, so I remember to do it later. But that's an interesting situation of how they got there and why is it different than the others and everything else. But it is different. They are fighting through it, and you know, we wish them luck. But back to United.
Yes.
Two other very interesting things coming out. We have known for some time, or anticipated for some time, that the A321 XLR will be the 757 replacement for Transatlantic. That is now confirmed. The Coastliner was also something we talked about a couple episodes back. It's probably a couple months now. A plane was spotted at probably Toulouse with Coastliner painted on it. Yep. And everybody got super excited. It turns out we were mostly right about what the Coastliner is, which is the Coastliner is an A321neo, not an XLR, that is focused on exclusively between United's West Coast hubs in San Francisco and Los Angeles and Newark.
Okay.
So they're bringing Polaris cabins on board. This is a 1-1 layout. We believe it to be the Adient, which changed its name to something else now, seat, and the Altitude, Adient Altitude. It's a nice seat. It's patented and all the things. The layout, Adient Ascent or Altitude? Altitude, yeah. It's a nice designed seat. It's won a bunch of awards. A couple things that are interesting to me about it, they put this sort of in their some of their pitching, is more elbow and shoulder room and lower suite walls that protect privacy while maintaining an open feel in the cabin.
Okay. I mean, I don't like the herringbone approach.
No.
No. I feel like coffins.
Yeah. Well.
Are they sticking to the 28 seats that was in the original, the patent filing or whatever that was?
That's an excellent question, and I don't have the full details yet available in terms of how many seats. One of the interesting things, the XLR notes that it will have 32 premium seats, 16 more than the 757 it replaces, to fly into smaller cities in Europe and then to South America. But premium seats clearly includes premium select.
Right.
So flatbed versus...
It's premium plus with United, right?
Oh, premium plus, sorry. Whatever.
I'm like, select is a Delta word, I think.
Yeah. That's annoying. But yeah, it's a very interesting situation.
Now, you have a note in here that's 50. Is that 50 coastliners and XLRs or 50 of each?
So they're expecting 50 coastliners and 28 XLRs to be delivered by April of 2028.
Hold on.
Excuse me, 40 coastliners out of 50 total and 28 out of 50 XLRs. So they're going for 50 coastliners, which seems like a lot for a Transcom service.
Unless they go back to the old days where they had the premium service and to see anything Transcon out of Newark. Right? Like AA's had success running their three cab into Orange County.
Yeah. Sorry. And I do have the notes here. Coastliner is 20 Polaris seats, 12 premium plus, and 129 economy.
So how's that going to work? It's 20 seats is not, they sell out 77Ws today with 60 seats.
If they have 40 of these flying, I guess they can run wingtip flights. It's terribly inefficient.
But right, like Newark to San Francisco, Newark to LA is one of those markets that no matter how many premium seats you throw in there, it seems to just consume it. Even as a GS, you don't get upgraded.
Yeah.
Right. Like what was yesterday or 2 days ago, one of my buddies was on Newark, San Francisco afternoon flight, early afternoon, 20 GS members.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's too many 4 million milers, Foz. I think you should tap out.
Sure.
But
there's people earning GS as well, right?
No, I know. I'm teasing you.
I know.
The other interesting thing is the 129 seats. They're actually removing three seats at the back and putting in a snack bar for economy class passengers.
Okay.
Sort of like JetBlue original. I'm sure others have done it too, but for a single aisle, JetBlue did it.
I mean, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, JetBlue did it sort of because it didn't have a choice given the physical layout of the plane. United doing it by choice is, you know, is a nice touch. It's an interesting one to me, though.
No, that won't have doors, will it?
Those seats?
Yeah.
I'm at one point the patent allows for the doors. I'm not sure if it will on board or not.
I'm asking because could the snack bar be a result of staffing?
20 and 12 is 32 and 129 is 161. So you're at four flight attendants minimum anyways. I guess a fifth flight attendant if you put doors in because you usually need one extra to deal with the doors.
Right.
The XLR definitely has privacy doors, so I'm assuming they're doing the same thing.
Okay.
And I believe the 32 premium seats is the 20/12 split based on what I'm reading here.
Okay. It's interesting, the filing had 28 seats up front in J.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was, I think that was just showing that you could put a lot in there.
Interesting.
So, yeah. You know, you do have to stop at some point, but why and where? I think that the angle to the, you know, 49 degree angle relative to the fuselage is just an interesting experience when you're flying. It's pretty sharp.
Yes.
You are facing more sideways than forward at that point.
Yeah, that's why I don't like those seats. I thought we had done away with herringbones this last generation, but clearly with the narrow bodies are coming back.
Yeah. The Coastliner has the special livery, as we noted. It has United painted on the bottom of it.
Okay.
Which was a first. And they point out that, you know, people should go plane spot it from the iconic locations near LAX. Also, Polaris passengers on the Transcons will now get Polaris lounge access.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it's a lot of seats to get to Polaris lounge access, which in the morning's probably not a big deal. In the evenings when Newark is crowded, probably is.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably just looking at a 3 or 4 hour block where it's an issue.
Yeah. But anyway. Okay. So that's the bigger single aisle planes. And now, the weirdest of it all. The CRJ-450. Tell us how you really feel. This is a CRJ-200. They're going to remove four rows of coach seats. So it's a 34 economy, replace those 16 coach seats with seven
first class, and a closet.
A closet or a luggage rack like in the 550s?
A luggage closet like in the 550s. They call that.
Okay. Okay.
They're going to remove the overhead bins in first class. So passengers in first will be able to just put their bags in the closet, which if it's like the 550 is behind the cabin, which is going to be a weird little bit, but is what it is.
The 550 has a bin up front too.
Does it?
Yeah. When you walk in, there's a small bin and then there's a bigger one in the back.
Okay. I've only been in the bigger one in the back. The one I remember. What else here? Overhead bins in economy will be large enough to fit a standard roller bag. So they're refreshing and replacing those. And they're adding the Starlink Wi-Fi because it's a two cabin plane and all of United's two class planes will have Wi-Fi.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Now, is this like, do you think that this is a pivot because there's a need for first class or because they need to reduce the number of seats on the 200?
So that's a good question. And by 2028, United expects to have more than 50 of these in service. So that they're going to convert them pretty quickly, or a chunk of them pretty quickly. I don't know how many CR2s are currently flying for United, but I imagine it's a lot. Look that up while we're talking here. But I think it's more about having the first class cabin available and running out of stock of CR7s to convert, so they're now converting CR2s.
Okay.
And the other option is by new E75s, which they're doing a little of, but that's a big plane. Also, on a per trip basis, these planes are pretty expensive to operate.
Oh, yeah. That's why you would think the extra seats would be important.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess dropping 20% of the seats. Okay, there are currently 54 active CR2s in the fleet. So let's assume by the end of, what time? What did I say? By 2028, that the CRJ200 will be gone at United.
I'm surprised they're not doing anything with the 145s.
I wonder if it's a fuselage width issue.
Okay.
The CR2, if I remember correctly, is just a couple inches wider than the 145. That's why it's a terrible 2-2 instead of 1-2.
Got it. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. 8 feet 10 inches versus
7.48.
Yeah. So yeah, and that foot makes a big difference.
But it's longer, right?
The ERJ is, yeah.
Yeah, so you could do a 1-1 first class and still keep 1-2 in the back, which from a passenger experience perspective is much nicer.
Yeah. I wonder if it also just means they don't want to keep the ERJs around as long. Who flies them?
Who does fly them?
Commuter Air is flying 145s right now.
Yeah, or Dulles and Houston see them at this point.
Yeah, and SkyWest is flying the 200s. So
yeah.
Yeah, that may have something to do with it, but you know, good riddance to the 200, even if it's just putting lipstick on this pig. Having regular size overhead bins inside it and having a first class cabin will be a nice touch.
But how do you get regular sized overhead bins in a 200 without reducing ceiling height? Because it's not like those bins are very high.
I don't know. Look forward to seeing the pictures.
Oh, they're going to have to just hunch in, like get into seated position and slide yourself into your seat.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. That is a good question. But you know, similarly, removing the overheads in the front of the cabin will be a nice passenger experience effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the bulk of the people are sitting in the back. So
yeah, I get it. Speaking of Starlink, which is going to be on the these new 450s, British Airways.
Yes. Starlink snags another customer.
Well, I mean, we knew that they announced it back in November, but the first plane's installed.
Okay.
So that's
exciting.
Yeah, and this is they started with the 787-8 series. Those were planes that never got Wi-Fi before.
They didn't have Wi-Fi in the 8s?
No.
My God.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you know, some of them must be new now. These are like 6-year-old planes and BA just never bothered to install Wi-Fi on them.
Wow.
Yeah. Sadly, my trip to Europe next month will not be on one of BA's 787-8s. So
they only have a handful of 8s, right?
Yeah. And I'm on, but I get an A380 again.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yeah. Premium economy. So we'll stay. Only coming home. But yeah, how many do I have a 787-8? That is an excellent question.
We have 10. No, all right. 11.
11. Yeah, 8 active is saying. So yeah, like not a huge stored after incident. Oopsie. Yeah. So not a huge fleet there, but those are getting it first. British Airways, the entire IAG family is supposed to have Starlink by the end of next year. I think they said a 2-year rollout period starting now. So that is an aggressive timeline for 300 odd planes at BA and 500-ish total across all of them. So,
I mean, having been on a few Starlink flights, it's nice. It works.
Yeah.
It's much more reliable. It will not work on Ed's flights, guaranteed.
Check in on Ed and see how that's working for him. I'm sure he's headbutting right now.
I know he still had Wi-Fi issues this week, so, you know.
There you go. You know, does a bear shit in the woods? Did Ed's Wi-Fi have trouble? Finally, the first half of a conversation about the impacts of the ADS-C in Iran. What's going on with TSA checkpoints these days, Foz?
A lot of them are closing. So I think Philly, they've closed the F and C, I think. And a number of other airports are closing checkpoints as well because of reduced staffing.
Yeah. So consolidating down, there was something the TSA put out at one point using that if they didn't have enough staff, they would just have to close certain smaller airports.
Yep.
Which, I mean, makes sense. You have to have enough bodies to work them. I will say, I think either Friday or Saturday was yet another vote on funding it that failed. So not good news.
Yeah, A West, C, and F are closed. I know in Houston, pre-check only in C, non-pre-check in E.
Houston's been that way for a little bit, though, because of construction, right?
No, construction's done.
Okay.
At one point, Houston, you couldn't even, E wasn't even open for security.
Yeah, okay.
So... Yeah, definitely a shift. And I think Phoenix had some closures as well. I can't remember where else. But yeah, it's definitely an impact. Hopefully this all ends soon.
Yeah. I know I've been talking to people, you know, people asking me what's going on with it. I'm like, well, A, I'm not traveling, so I don't know. But B, you know, where I have been seeing issues, it's usually been a 15 or 20 minute hit, not, you know, which is annoying, but not debilitating. Someone posted a picture of Friday afternoon in Atlanta with a 75 minute wait. And I was like, yeah, but it's Atlanta. Like,
it's only 15 minutes more than normal.
Right. It was my point. Like, this is like when, you know, you post about fuel prices and you pick that one gas station that always charges $8 a gallon on the way into Orlando because they can, rather than normal average prices.
Yeah, looking at the Philly website right now, right? It's 5 in the evening, around 5 in the evening on Saturday. Terminal B has an average wait of 19 minutes, no pre-check. A East has an average minute of 26 minutes for regular and 2 minutes for pre-check.
Yeah.
DE is at 16 minutes and only 2 minutes for pre-check, which that seems reasonable.
Yeah, I'd say a 16-minute, I mean, again, 5 o'clock on a Saturday is pretty light travel time, but...
It is spring break, though.
Is it spring break for y'all?
Yeah. Like we're now in spring break season and going, you know, from now until end of April.
So anyway, it's bad news at many levels, but I feel like the system hasn't completely fallen apart yet, at least.
No. Like the thing that's personally that I think is going to be, it has to be frustrating for Philly is if you go to F because you're expecting to fly in on RJ to find out that you can't check in there or go through security and having to backtrack because I don't think there is a way to do it outside or a way to get inside. You have to go outside.
Do you?
From,
I know there's a sterile side connector. I don't think there's a public side connector. I think you have to
crack on the screen. Sure is, because I arrived there the other day, and I walked out and was inside until I got to a crossover to the train station. I thought it connected onward. Maybe not.
Oh, because Philly has that weird thing where the luggage is a separate building, so you probably walk to that building.
And then across.
And then you can walk back. But it's a little bit of a walk.
Sure. Well, you know, don't fly out of Philly, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway. Alrighty. That's a wrap on our regular episode. Gonna talk about a little bit more about fuel and fares in the Patreon section. Some bits about who wants new planes and who's parking them. And Austin, Texas, once again. This time possibly some good news, not just ranting about how terrible the terminal is. So Patreon supporters, stick around for that. Everybody else, thanks for listening and have a great day.
Take care.